Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we are yours. And we ask that you do conform us to the way you want us to be, Lord, that many of us, all of us, honestly, have our own agenda at times, Lord. But right now, we put that agenda aside, Lord, and we ask that you bring our mind together with yours and that you shape us the way you want us to be, Lord, and that you will conform us so that way we can walk side by side with you, Lord, with whatever it is that you have for each of us, Lord, whatever it is that you have for this world, Lord, that we will fall in beside you, Lord, and not do our own will, but do the will of you, Lord. So we do praise you here in this place. We look to you as our guidance, as our counselor, as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may go ahead and be seated this morning. As I said, good morning. It is a beautiful morning outside. It looks like it's going to be a nice day today. Just a couple of quick announcements. We have Women's Thursday Small Group. If you have not signed up yet, I think you can still sign up this week. Is that good, Megan? Okay. If you have... Guys, so try and get to Megan. If you have questions, Megan Caputa, talk to her about the Women's Small Group meeting every other Thursday. There's a sign-up out in the lobby area there that you do need to order some books, so that way we need to get you signed up now so that we can get the books ordered and make sure that you have them for the first week. Questions? See Megan. Also, August 11th, which is next Sunday. Crazy that we're already going to be in the second Sunday of August. Baptism Sunday with the Dish to Pass. Yeah, one of my favorite Sundays. Those of you that don't know, we head down to Canisius Lake right after service. It'll be a little bit shorter of a service next Sunday. If Kevin can make it shorter, we know how he is with his sermons. But we'll make it a little bit shorter next week, head down to Canisius Lake, do a Dish to Pass, and do our baptisms. I know of a couple people, I think, that are getting baptized. If you have not talked to myself or Kevin or one of the elders and you're thinking about getting baptized, we'd love to talk to you and just make sure that the reason why you're getting baptized is the right reason and not just because I want to be in the cool club and jump in the lake. And then August 14th through the 18th as well is our annual camping trip. If you want to know more information about that, the church, a lot of people already have their campsites booked. I think all the campsites might be booked at this time. But if you want to come down just for the day to visit, talk with myself or Chrissy, my wife, and we'll make sure that you know the details of what we're doing. I think Kevin did send out an email as well. So if you're not sure, look at that email and you can find out more information there. Other than that, we are looking forward to the message today from our friend Chocolate Thunder. He's going to come on up and preach. Just so you know, I did not give him that name, Chocolate Thunder. He gave it to himself, so I can call him Chocolate Thunder because since he said it. Come on up, Tony.
Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Okay, am I wired? Okay, great. Well, it's always good to be here. I got great memories of your pastor and of your church. I'm glad he's got opportunity to rest his spirit, soul, and body. I'm sure he needs it, amen? Seems to be a pretty busy young man. But we're the Lone Ranger today. Certainly, you know me as Chocolate Thunder. My wife, Brown Sugar, she couldn't make it today, and my brown sugar cubes, but we're going to try to hold the fort. Amen? All right. Where do we go from here? Let's pray. Father, the prayer that comes to mind is the one over in Ephesians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul prayed something like this. Lord, that you would give unto us, that you would strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man, so that Christ might dwell or abide in our hearts by faith, so that we might be rooted and grounded in your love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of your love. Lord, that we might know by experience the love of Christ with passage knowledge as a result of being filled with the fullness of your love by your spirit, so that you would do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, pray or say, through the power of the Spirit who dwells in us to perfect our hearts. God, help us now, I pray, Lord. Speak to our hearts about this ultimate, intimate love relationship that you create us for and want to save us if you haven't already saved us, Lord, that we might experience that love. We ask you in Jesus' name, amen. All right. You know, I'd like to sing a song. It's an old song. It's called Take Time to Be Holy. And I got confirmation for this song because I ran into a couple, the Newharts, on the way in. And I didn't expect for them to be here. I didn't know they were going to be here. And they said, we just thought about you the other day, and we thought about how you sing at our wedding. I said, what did I sing? Take Time to Be Holy? And they said, exactly. So that was confirmation for me, okay? It's an old song, and I'd like for you to pay really close attention to the words of the song because the message kind of speaks to it. Amen? We'll do it a cappella. Let me give you a little history about this song before we get started.
Take time to be.
We'll do it a cappella, okay? This song was written by a guy by the name of Longstaff, and what happened was he heard a message one day on Be Holy as I Am Holy. The message out of 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, anyhow, he got so convicted, he went home and he said, gee, how can I be holy like God is holy? And he thought about the fact that holiness is defined by a person. Jesus is the Holy One, amen? So in essence, he put against this poem that talked about how he could be like Jesus in reference to being holy. And he came up with this. It was a poem initially, and then it was put into music, I forget, by someone else, amen? But I want you to pay close attention to the words of the song. I don't know if you can see him. Can you see him from back here? Okay. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. You might miss the words. I know it by heart. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends with God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting and nothing is blessing to see. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be calm in thy soul. They switched the verses on me. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. You know, we didn't practice this, so don't fault them about the lines. Amen. I came in at the last minute, which is what I typically do. I said, could you do this for me? And they said, we'll accommodate you. But anyhow, the message is in the song. How can I be holy? How can I be like Christ? Amen. As the songwriter or the poet wrote, he said, you need to take time to be holy. You need to take time to spend time with Jesus. You need to take time to abide in Christ, to abide in his word, to abide in prayer, to abide in fellowship with the brethren. Take time to count your blessings, to abide in your blessings. Take time to allow God to be in control, to be your shepherd. Take time to be filled with the Spirit. These are all things that we need to do to be able to really abide in Christ. That's our subject for today. I was talking to your pastor a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, Pastor Tony, that's one of my favorite subjects. And I said, mine too. I said, you probably remember years ago, maybe 20 years ago, when I did a lot of teaching on what it means to abide in Christ. He said, I don't know, but he said, but I know that's one of my favorite subjects. Now, I've preached this message maybe a dozen times already, and it's one of my favorite messages, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. But I want to start with a question. The question is this. The title of the message is The Ultimate Intimate Love Relationship. I like picking on kids, so I'm glad you're right up front. You already know that, don't you? I don't have the squirt gun today, though. I think you were looking forward to that. But anyhow, it's not so much I like to pick on young people, but I like to make sure that they get engaged, amen, because we need to talk to them as well, amen? And this whole concept of abiding in Christ, you know, I believe it's as far as being rightly related to God, I don't think there's a greater subject that we can teach on, we can talk about in reference to abiding in Christ. And I'll define it a couple of different times. Matter of fact, maybe I should define what I think abiding in Christ means. Basically, it means to remain in close fellowship with him. Amen? How close, you might ask. I'm glad you asked. To stay close enough to him to allow him to live his life through us. So that when people see us, when people hear us, they see and hear Christ speaking to us and through us. Can I get an amen? All right, so that's basically what it means to abide in him. Now, let me ask you a question. What does it mean? What is this whole concept, the ultimate intimate love relationship? What does that mean? Anybody? Whoever answers it right, I'll give you $1,000. Right now. You don't believe me, do you? Otherwise, I get a bunch of answers. What does it mean, the whole concept, the ultimate intimate love relationship? What do you think it means? Unconditional love. It's about $100. Okay. Someone else? A little bit more descriptive. The ultimate intimate love relationship. Somebody raise a hand over here. I'm sorry? I don't hear too good. Would you say again?
Putting him before
ourselves. Before the world. Okay. Another couple $100. Somebody else. Everlasting. Okay, we're warming up. The ultimate intimate love relationship. How does that sound? Doesn't that sound pretty good? It does sound like something you want to experience. Come on, can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, then. I know I do. The ultimate intimate love relationship is, number one, if you're taking notes, it's the epitome, E-P-I-T-O-M-E, the epitome of all relationships. It is the one that is experienced by the Godhead. It's a relationship that is experienced by the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We know that these three persons are one God. Amen. They have a perfect relationship. No flaws in their relationship. No sin in their relationship. Perfect love for one another. So that first point, we don't have to illustrate it too much to really understand that is the relationship, the number one relationship that we ought to all try to strive to, because we can experience that type of relationship in God. And I'm going to tell you how. Number two, the ultimate intimate love relationship is the essence. It's the essence of Christianity. It's what Christianity is all about. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. It should be on the screen, John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Do we have that? Here we go. Beginning of verse 3. And this is life eternal. In other words, this is what eternal life is all about. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me, that thou gavest me to do. So Jesus is defining what salvation really is all about. And what he's basically saying is this: salvation is all about coming to a place where you know God, not just a head knowledge, but you know God in a very intimate and a very personal way. Amen? Not just knowing about God. How intimate? How personal? Look at verses 20 through 26. I want you to watch very, very closely if you're not familiar with these portions of Scripture here. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Here's this oneness, this ultimate intimate relationship. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. There's that oneness again, even as we are one. God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I in them, and thou in me. That's an abiding relationship. That they may be made perfect in one, and that thou, the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou lovest me. Keep going. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, my greatness, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Let me pause there for just a second. If you're going to heaven, if you were to die right now, you would go to, you'd go to heaven, according to the word of God. Amen? And the reason why you go is because of this prayer. Jesus prayed that, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, my greatness, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Next verse. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me. And I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Can you imagine? That the Lord loves you as much as he loves the Father, as much as the Father loves him. The world doesn't teach you this. Jesus said it. What I'm trying to encourage us to do, if necessary, and I know for some of you it's not necessary, it's necessary for me from time to time, to just be reminded of this ultimate, intimate love relationship that goes beyond words. It's something that I can experience with the Lord. The same love that he experiences with the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy, a perfect love. John 3:16 was birthed from this. For God so loved you that he gave you his only begotten Son, that if you were to believe in him, you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, what I'm trying to share with you is on the second point of this whole concept of the ultimate intimate love relationship is the essence. It's what Christianity is all about. It's the reason why God created you and me so that we can experience the same type of love relationship that he had before the world began with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to experience that with us today. The reason why God created you is for that purpose. The reason why he wants to save you, if he hasn't saved you already, is so that you can experience that type of relationship from day to day in spite of what the devil tries to tell you. The devil's a liar. Somebody say the devil's a liar. I mean, he's the one that's behind all this hatred and all this bitterness and all this disunity. Amen? He is the one that doesn't want us to believe the same love that the Father has for the Son by the Spirit is something we can experience on a regular basis. You see, the ultimate intimate love relationship is the epitome, number one, is the epitome of all other relationships. Nothing measures up to that. It also is the essence. It's the essence of what Christianity is all about. The reason why God wants to save you if he hasn't already. The reason why God created us. You know, this thing. Let me put this in here. How about that? Okay. It's also, it's the experience our Lord emphasized in John chapter 14, verses 6 through 12, in his humanity. John chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many of you believe that? There's no other way, there's no other truth, there's no other life but Jesus. Amen? I am the way, and listen, I've had people tell me, how does he have the audacity to say that? Because of who he is. Amen? God manifests in the flesh, but now in a glorified body. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices, it will satisfy us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen my Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Keep going. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice. I'm sorry, the next verse. Believest thou I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, the Father that abides in me, the Father who lives in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. He said a mouthful. Let me just kind of sum this up for you. Jesus experienced this ultimate, intimate love relationship with the Father in his humanity. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Philip says, show us the Father. Jesus said, haven't you been with me long enough? Philip, don't you know that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? And he goes to explain what he meant when he said that. Jesus said this, the words that I speak in his humanity, the works that I do in his humanity, he said, it's not me that does them. I'm living close enough to the Father. So close that the words that I say are my Father's words. The works that I do are my Father's works. And he says, to those of us who are saved, greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. But I'm coming back through the Spirit to enable you to do the works that I do, to do the things that I do, to speak the words that I speak, as long as you abide in me, as long as you continue to remain in close fellowship with me. How close? Close enough to allow me to live my life through you. Some of you are probably saying, how can I do that? That's a good question, and I'm going to answer that, but not now. See, what I want you to do, I want you to get the full picture here. The ultimate intimate love relationship is the epitome. Can I hear somebody say the epitome? Oh, you didn't say it right. Epitome of all other relationships. The ultimate intimate relationship is the essence. Somebody say the essence. Yes. It's the essence of, it's what Christianity is really all about. The ultimate intimate relationship is the experience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his humanity. The works that I do, the things that I say, listen, it's the Father that's doing them through me because the Father is abiding in me. I'm abiding in him. Did you get that? Well, let me move on then. Number four. I'm trying to honor that time. I was told I had until 1 o'clock. But anyhow.
That's not the truth.
Amen. The ultimate intimate love relationship is an explanation by our Lord on how we can bear the fruit of discipleship by abiding in him to the glory of God. Once again, to abide in Christ. Some translations use the word remain. Same thing. Some translations use the word to continue. Same thing. The word abide is used in a lot of different ways. And I like the way he uses it in this translation because it covers a lot of territory. To abide means to live. It means to yield. It means to stay close. It means to surrender. It means to accept. It means all of those things. It means to stay close to Jesus. Close enough to bear the only fruit. Now watch this. The only fruit that the Spirit of God produces. We can't produce fruit. We can only bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. Some people call it patience. I call it long-suffering. Amen, because it's supernatural patience. Goodness, meekness, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. You see, when we live close enough to Christ by being obedient to his word, he enables us to bear the only fruit that the Spirit of God produces. That's the likeness of Christ. Some people say, well, he'll produce the fruit of souls. That's a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit. The fruit of good works, that's a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit. The fruit of your lips, giving praise to God. The fruit of good works, that's a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit of Christ. Can I get an amen? I didn't read those verses to you. John chapter 15, please. Jesus said this, abide, continue, remain in me and I in you. He's talking to you if you're saved. As the branch, and he gives an illustration, and as the branch, the natural branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, the natural vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus goes on to say, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Then he goes on to give us a warning. If a man or a woman or a boy or a girl abide not in me, if you don't remain close to me, and I know this by experience, folks, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Some people teach this to mean that when you're out of fellowship with the Lord, that the Lord will throw you into hell, but that's not what it's teaching. He's given an illustration in reference to using the natural branch and the natural vine. If the natural branch doesn't stay connected to the natural vine, it doesn't bear any fruit. Can I get an amen? Beloved, if you call yourself a Christian, and I'm not trying to beat you up, because I struggle with this more than anybody else I know, staying close enough to the Lord. Beloved, let me say this. I want my goal in life, and let me encourage you young people. You got the message? But anyhow, how's the breath? I used gum today. Yeah. Breath okay? Okay, good. He probably never sit in that seat again. He sees me coming. He's going to children's church. But anyhow, there's times I'm not close to the Lord. There's times I don't love my wife the way Christ wants me to love my wife. There's times when I don't love you the way God wants me to love you. There's time where I get in the flesh and I don't follow God as closely as I should. That's when I'm like a withered branch. I'm going to say this. Forgive me. The Lord said, don't say it, so I won't say it. I started to say something in reference to my color, but I'm not the only one that looks like me in here, so I don't want to offend anybody. Amen? She might be a little more shy than I am, and I'm really quite shy. But anyhow, those times when I'm not close to the Lord, I'm not bearing the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not experiencing God's love. So I'm not expressing it. His joy, his peace. That's what he's saying. If a man or a woman, boy or girl, abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, branches that don't bear fruit, natural branches, and they're cast into the fire because they're not really good for much of anything else. He's giving this illustration. And they are burned. However, here's the good news. If ye abide in me, you stay close to me, and my words abide in you, you stay in my word, continue in my word, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein, this is how my Father is glorified. This is how you put my Father on display. This is how people talk, say great things about your Father. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear not just fruit, not just more fruit, much fruit. Beloved, nothing glorifies God more than for us, his children, to allow Jesus to live his life through us. So that when people see us, when people hear us, they see and hear Jesus. Do I have any more verses there, brother? John chapter 15. Is that it? He goes on to say this in verses 9, 10, and 11. Jesus says this, as the Father has loved me, talking to his disciples, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue to experience my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide or remain or continue this love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You know, oftentimes we think that, you know, we're supposed to experience this joy before we keep his commandments, but it's the other way around. The joy comes through obedience. Can I get an amen? Amen? All right, I'm preaching too long in that one point, but I think we had to make the point. Okay, don't go to sleep on me, son. I'm going to bring my water. You know what? Let me have that bottle of water there, and I won't need the pistol. Somebody said something about being baptized. You want to be baptized today? No. Let me move on. The ultimate intimate love relationship is, oh, by the way, you can have these notes. I gave a copy to Kev if you want them, okay? Is it epitome of all relationships, the essence of Christianity, experience of our Lord emphasized. It's also explanation by our Lord Jesus on how to bear fruit, the fruit of discipleship. It's also the exchanged life that the Apostle Paul talked about. He didn't use the word abiding. But he said this, and let me say it in a song. Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul lived the exchange life. He lived a life that was totally and completely dependent upon Jesus. So much so that he allowed Christ to live his life through it. That's how Paul was able to accomplish all that he did. How could a man have joy in a dungeon, in a prison? And he wrote much of his epistles while he was in prison. The book of Philippians is all about joy, and he was in prison when he wrote it. You know, there are many other things that we could talk about. The point I'm trying to make is this: Paul lived the exchange life. Paul lived in light of eternity. I wasn't going to mention this, but let me give you this. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Paul didn't write that song, Be Thou My Vision, but he wrote a lot of the contents of that song. What he did write was this, in reference to Jesus. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I don't count myself to have arrived. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What Paul was saying is, my goal, my purpose in life is to be like Jesus. That was my one goal, my one purpose, my one thought, my one desire. Come hell or high water. Did I say hell in church? Amen. My man said Jesus said it. Is that your goal? Is that your purpose? If we had time, we'd go over to, if I had brought my Bible, thank God for the, I could have left my Bible at home. Don't tell my wife. Because brown sugar can easily turn into Sugar Ray. Matter of fact, never mind. The only way you can have that desire to abide in Christ or to allow Christ to live his life through us, it has to come by the Spirit of God. Because you won't feel that way in the flesh. In the flesh, you're going to want to be your own God. Can I get an amen? Amen. The ultimate intimate love relationship is the epitome of all other relationship. It's the essence of Christianity. It's the experience of our Lord emphasized in John chapter 14. It's explained by Jesus in John chapter 15. It's the exchange life experienced by the Apostle Paul. And it's the encouragement of our Lord in Revelation 3 verse 20. Remember this verse? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or any woman, Jesus is knocking at the door. Jesus is calling your name. Do yourself a favor. Open the door and let him in to your heart daily. The greatest indictment, Josh. How am I doing on time?
You're good.
Okay. I'm almost done.
You got 3 hours left.
Okay. The The greatest indictment, I believe, was up at the top of the list that Christ has against the church today. It's the church today, for the most part, except for a remnant, a small part of the whole, is lukewarm. Guilty too often. There's so many distractions. There's so many things that rob our hearts. We sing a song about the heart in worship today. What was the name of that song, young man?
Which one?
I think it was the first one. What was the second one? You know which one I was going to ask you to do?
What's that?
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living This song speaks of us giving our hearts to the Lord. And there's only a remnant of God's people that are doing that today. I'm reminded of when God made his indictment against Sodom and Gomorrah. And he came down and he was talking to Lot. And Lot said, if there be 50 righteous, would you spare the city? And he went down to 10. And he said, if there be 10 righteous, would you spare the city? I believe that God is sparing our country, because there's at least 10 righteous who have not bowed their knee to the devil in some form or fashion. And I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm not saying that people in this church are living like that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we all need to take inventory and see if we're as close to the Lord as we need to be, so that we can experience this ultimate, intimate love relationship with the Lord on a regular. There's so many distractions. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman, boy or girl, hear my voice, he's not just knocking, he's calling you by name. And open the door, I will come in and I will have fellowship with them. I will abide. Even you. You know that the Bible says that unless a person comes to Christ with the faith of a child, they can't even get into the kingdom. I'm not trying to pick on you, so I'm just trying to encourage you. I think you can handle it. I know that you can. I remember you from last time. Last time I was here. You were right there with me, I think. Not unless it was one of Kevin's 20 kids. I'm here to motivate, challenge, encourage, remind you. Think of that song. Don't think me be too worldly. The world needs now love, sweet love, but it's got to be God's love. By signal. The last E is this. The ultimate intimate love relationship is the epitome of all relationships, the essence of Christianity, the experience of our Lord, it's emphasized, its explanation of our Lord. He called it the abiding relationship, its exchange life that Paul experienced, its encouragement of our Lord in Revelation 3:20. It is the exhortation of our Lord through the Apostle Paul by the Spirit. 1 John 2:28. 1 John 2:28 says this, and now, today, little children, God talking to his children, abide in him, remain in him, remain in close fellowship with him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Jesus is coming back soon and very soon. We sing that song. He's coming back. Listen, if you want to be confident when he comes back, if you want to be unashamed when he comes back, you have to be abiding in him right now, today. You have to be as close to him. Jesus said when he left, he said, listen, when I come back, be also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. If you're not ready, I'm going to come as a thief in the night. Those who are ready are the ones who are going to be looking for Jesus before he comes. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Therefore, the Lord has laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only, but for all of those who love his appearing. For all of those who live as if Jesus Christ can come back at any moment. For all those who are abiding in Christ today. You got that, didn't you? Every day. Before you can abide in him, you have to be saved. I said, before you can abide in him, you got to allow him to abide in you. How does that happen? The moment you surrender your life to Christ, that very moment that you surrender, your life to him. There's a spiritual operation that takes place. The Bible talks about you being baptized or placed into the spiritual. It's not a physical transaction. It's a spiritual transaction where he places you into the body of Christ. And he gives you everything that you need to be a child of God. The Bible says that the moment you receive Christ, he gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Simultaneously, the God of the universe. Would you put this verse up there, Brother Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15? And then I want you to take over, sir. Isaiah 57, verse 15. When you put that up there for me. The point I'm trying to make is this. This verse says this, and we'll come back to it as he puts it up. The Word of God says this. Thus saith the high and the lofty one. You're talking about God. Who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He said, I dwell in the high and the holy place. And also in the hearts of that person who humbles himself. God is able to do that. The moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God comes to take residence in your soul. He comes to abide in us so that we can abide in him. But you have to surrender. You have to be willing to give your life to Jesus, no matter how old you are. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. Nobody's looking around. You're here today, and you remember a time when you just surrendered your life to Jesus. You asked Christ to be your Savior. You remember that day. How could you forget it? You say that I am a child of God. Would you raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. Raise it high. Most of you could raise. Some of you maybe didn't understand. You can do that right where you sit. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and when you do that, you're saying, Lord, I want you to be my Lord. If you believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved if you call upon the name of the Lord with a sincere heart. Just surrender. Jesus, I believe you're the Lord. Pray that in your heart. I surrender. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Jesus, you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on you now. Please save me. Give me eternal life. And help me to abide in you. If you prayed that and you're sincere, God knows your heart. He did all the work. As a matter of fact, please raise your hand for a moment as I turn the service over to Josh. Please raise your head. That's what we're celebrating on the Lord's table. We're celebrating the humility of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, every bit God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God because he is equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He gave up all of his rights and privileges in heaven and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of what he did to save us, God has so highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you don't accept Christ as Lord in this life, you will one day on the wrong side of life. Man, you better get up there before I go another half hour. If you've received Christ, somebody, tell somebody. If you want to receive Christ, ask somebody. Please. God bless you. Thanks for putting up with Josh.
Thank you, Pastor Tony, for bringing the word today and just reminding us absolutely that we need to abide in Christ. And I think we're going to go into communion. I think that's a perfect fit because there's not a time that I don't take communion that is such a special moment for me to be able to abide in Christ in that moment for the 5-10 minutes, however long it takes, to be able to set aside this time and know and remember why we're doing communion, why we're partaking of it. And I do want to take a couple minutes and reflect on that. And when we are partaking of communion, we're remembering the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate love that Jesus showed for us, that there's nothing that we can do to earn this love, but it's that Jesus willingly laid his life down for us, that he chose to put himself on that cross. He could have, that cross that was made of that tree, he could have hit that tree with lightning and destroyed it so it wouldn't be there. But he chose to let that tree live so that way when he was here on the earth, that tree would be made into a cross that he would be put on. And he did it for me. He did it for you. He did it for all of us. Not just because Tony's a pastor, not because I'm a pastor. He did it for each and every single one of us because that's the love that he has for us. And that's the reason why when I come to the communion table, the Lord's Supper, I remember, I look back and be like, that is what he did for me. And so this time that we partake of communion is so special to me. So special. Oftentimes when I'm partaking of communion and sharing communion, there's you guys know I'm a crier. Like, my eyes are often wet when I'm partaking of communion just because I'm remembering that love that Jesus had for me, that he still has for me, that he would still choose to die for us today. There's nothing that you do that he's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know that he was going to do that or that she was going to do that. He still chose to die on that cross for us, knowing everything. Let's go ahead and look at 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29. And as we do pass out communion and you choose to partake of communion, I want to remind us, though, that this isn't something to be taken lightly as well. We do practice open communion here. It means that you don't have to be a member of our church. As long as you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can partake of communion with us. But with that, though, I still want to remind us that this is something that we need to be careful about as well. When we look at 1 Corinthians 11, 27, it says, "So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink from the cup." And I bring that scripture to you to remind you that this is something that all of us should do, but make sure that you're doing so in a worthy manner. If there's something in your heart that is not right, if you're holding a grievance against a fellow brother or sister, go talk to them about it. Then partake of communion. Maybe Don and Sean, if you guys come up and maybe help pass out communion this morning. We're going to start with the bread. Yes, go ahead. And as they're passing this out, I just want you to take some time, and if there's something you need to bring to the Lord, bring it to the Lord. Make sure your heart's in the right spot. First Corinthians 11, 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So give thanks. I like to break my bread at times too and give thanks. And verse 25 says, "In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Amen.